Well, I was blessed to thank the chorister for that last song. I remember my dad singing that and learning that when I was small. It has a lot to do with my topic, I guess, tonight. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not. My Lord was crucified. When we realize what he's done for us, it can help us to see the secret place. Let's go to Psalm 91. I remember one time in a minister's meeting when we got together, Brother James Roth had the devotional part that evening, and he told us the way to look at this psalm, and I thought it was interesting. Psalm 1 is David talking to his son, and number 2 is verse 2 is Solomon answering. Then from 3 down through verse 13 is David continuing his instruction. And then 14 through 16 is God giving his blessing. Just something that by some of the pronouns he drew that conclusion. So you listen as we read it tonight and you see how you see it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The secret place. There we have that in the first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Dan. For everything God has given us, for everything He has promised us, Satan tries to have an alternative. Let's go to Ezekiel 7. Ezekiel 7 and verse 22. My face will I turn also from them, this is God speaking, and they shall pollute my secret place, for the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. For everything that God wants to give us, Satan has an alternative, offers an alternative. God offers us peace, and the devil offers us busyness. We can get so busy we hardly know there is no peace. For joy, the joy God wants us to enjoy, the devil offers funny. Happiness replaced by silliness or stupidity. Purpose in life is often replaced by pride of recognition. When we used to live in Nebraska, there was a fellow there by the name of Dean Schweitzer. And he was crippled, and he was in a care center. All he could do was move his neck. He could move his eyes. He could move his neck. He could talk, but that was it. And every time he moved his head back, he couldn't pull it back. It would just keep going back farther and farther every time he moved it. And so he would be laying in the bed, and when you'd get there, his neck would usually be tipped way back. And then the nurse would come sometimes and try to bend it forward, but it was so stiff, his whole body was just very stiff and rigid, and they would have to work and work to get his head back forward because it would be uncomfortable to him and hard on his breathing. But I remember as a quartet, we decided we'd go down there and encourage Dean one night. And we come in there to sing for him, and of course we visit a little bit first, and oftentimes in a old people's home they have these tiles on the ceiling, you know, the removable tiles up there, and they have little holes all over them. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, he had those all counted in his room. That's all he had to do all day. He could look up at the ceiling, and that was about all he could do all day. He told us he had them all counted. But there we thought we were going to sing for him and give him a word of encouragement, you know. But when we left, we all went out into the car, and we were all pretty quiet and subdued. And I remember one of them saying, you know, I think we're the ones that got the encouragement. The nurses said he never complained, and he kind of argued with that. He said, well, sometimes I get really tired of laying here, and I can't get anybody's attention, and I'm in pain. I need a foot moved or something. He could feel it, but he couldn't do anything about it. But there he laid, and I think he had been there 25 or 30 years, just laying there. And you think, well, what's my purpose? What was his purpose laying there? But, you know, when we saw his faith as healthy youth, we saw his faith. It did something for us. God had a purpose. Sometimes we think there's more purpose in being the president of something. You know what I mean? We like to be noticed. We like to be recognized for who we are rather than just having a purpose in life just to serve the Lord. Go to Philippians 4. Very familiar verse. Philippians 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a real promise to us. God offers security in Christ. He offers us security. And the devil wants to offer us financial securities. And oftentimes people turn to those securities rather than looking to Christ. The devil always has an alternative. And I'd like to look at the struggle, as it were, between those two tonight. In the secret place of God. One of the secret places with God is in a time of prayer. Now, when you pray, I've often said I don't like to pray in public because everybody hears me. But we need to pray in public. I think that's important. But when I pray in private, then I can say anything. That's my place. I can just tell the Lord anything. If I'm angry at the way he's doing things, I can tell him. If I'm just rejoicing in my spirit, I can tell him. And he knows. He understands. He's there to listen in the secret place. in worship, personal Bible study. Go with me to Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4 and verse 17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before the moth? They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. Comparing us to mortal man, our worship. Sometimes in our personal Bible study, when we worship and we see God, when we come before Him and we see Him, that's who we're spending time with there in the secret place. It's very humbling, and it awes us to see who He really is. In witnessing. Now, I'm not a real bold person, but sometimes you get on the job, and I just remember one time they had the noise so loud. They had the rock music going so loud. And finally, I don't know what it does to you, but I know what it does to me when that's just thundering all day long. And finally one day, it was saying... The song goes something like this. I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway. It just goes on and on like that. That song just goes on and on. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I said, I'm not on the highway to hell. I just said it out loud. And the fellow reached over and shut it off. He said, I don't want to be either. I said, then why do you listen to it? There's a certain thrill goes through us when we've given our testimony for Jesus Christ. And those fellows really respect me. They're good friends of mine. But whenever I come on the job, we better change to something else here. And they'll change the music. And I appreciate that. And I tell them I appreciate it. But there's a... That's not necessarily the secret place. But there's something about being with God to give your testimony. There's a relationship. The other place that the devil offers to replace this is hidden sin. For prayer, that time when you just spend alone talking with God, He offers secret relationships too. I know for men it can be lust and exploitation in their mind. And it's just tucked away secretly there. I don't know what it is for women. But they just have that little secret tucked away there, that little relationship tucked away that they can kind of go to every once in a while, you know. For worship, where you just spend time, you just see God there. For worship, their secret covetousness, their secret bank accounts, their secret desires there. I remember the first man I worked for after I was married. He told me that he wanted to be a millionaire by the time he was 40. And he was. He made it. He was a millionaire by the time he was 40. And I didn't work for him very long. I moved on to something else. But many years later, I still tried to keep a relationship with him. He was one of the best employers I ever worked for. You, brethren, if you can find somebody like that, it's great. Almost every other week, I got a raise. Maybe only a nickel, maybe just a few cents. But he just showed his appreciation, and he thanked me for the work I did, and I just really liked to work for him. But the work was too heavy drywalling for me. I was too small for what was expected. We didn't have lifts in those days. It was all done by hand. But he was going to be a millionaire by the time he was 40. And so I kind of kept track. And later on in life, one of his goals was to, when he retired, then he had a semi, and he was going to load his drywall tools into that. He was going to put a load of drywall into that truck, and he was going to go around to all the churches. Anybody, any church that needed to be drywalled and finished, he'd have come in here and he'd have done the whole job for you, just did it for nothing. Just finished the whole job up. That was his goal, he said. Well, he didn't really act like that, but that's what he talked to me about, because I was a Christian, so he tried to be one, you know. And when he hit a certain age, he decided, 40, he decided to retire. He had made his money, and he told his wife, and she said, "I'm not going to be no church tramp." And that was the end of their relationship. She went and got a job and started working for some lawyer someplace. She was very well trained in bookkeeping. And she had her affairs and he had his affairs, and they parted their ways. And when they settled some of the estate, you know, they each got millions. There were millions by that time. And she sued him for her half of the millions, you know. And as time went on, she discovered that he had hidden $3 million from her. You got money like that to hide? He hid $3 million that she didn't know anything about. So she sued him and got her half. Secret covetousness. Secret pleasures. For witnessing that thrill that goes through us by giving our testimony for Jesus Christ. Secret pleasures. You know, some people on the sly, they gamble. Some of them drink on the side. Some of them do all kinds of things. I even heard that in some of our plain churches, the boys run to town to watch TV, the sports on TV, because they can't have TV at home, so they go to town in the mornings to watch the results of the games. What a pathetic thing. Secret pleasures. You know, we're looking for a thrill. There's something about us as human beings that we want a thrill. We want to know something that's real, something will grab my attention, my drive. And that's the secret place with Jesus. No other thing will manage it. No other thing will equal it. I'd like to look at some hidden sins as the Bible talks about this morning. Go with me, or this evening. Go with me, Deuteronomy 27. God talks about hidden sin. I'd like to look at this one first. I'd like to look at the evil side of the relationship, the what the devil offers first. Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. In the hidden recesses of our heart, do we have some idolatry there? Do we have some hidden desire, some hidden something that's on the cross above, on the throne above God? Go to 2 Kings 17. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. There was things they wanted to do that they knew they weren't supposed to, so they did it on the sly. Did it secretly. Hidden high places, pagan worship. Psalm 10. Psalm 10 and verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. Secretly taking advantage of people. Just looking for the, we often say sometimes, the rich rule over the poor, the rich take advantage of the poor. Lie in wait secretly to see what they can get. Jesus talked about the Pharisees giving long prayers and then stealing from a widow. Secret covetousness. Go to Psalm 64, verse 2. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bow to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. There we have secret conquest. Secret conquest. We want more than what is ours, what God has granted us. Well, hidden sin. I don't think we want to be involved in those things. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I think one of the remedies for hidden sin is prophecy. And by prophecy, I think it means the open declaration of truth. When we proclaim the truth in clarity so that people can understand what we say, then they can turn from their sin. God can convict them and they can turn from their sin and they can be free. Now I'd like to look at the secret place of God. I'd like to try to look at that. The more I think about this subject, the more it troubles me that I can tell you about it. I can tell you about the secret place. I can tell you what it's like, but I can't take you there. It's a place you have to find. You have to go there. You have to find that secret place. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. So I'm going to try to tell you about it tonight. I can't take you there, but I can tell you about it. And I hope that you'll long to find it. Let's go to Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, God had created man, and everything was perfect for man. And man chose to violate the one command that God gave. Now we come to verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I just think that's a beautiful picture. They couldn't hide from God. You can't hide from God. I can't hide from God. God knew all the time where they're at. He knew all the time what they had done. There was nothing they could hide. But God wanted them to know he wanted a relationship with them. Where are you? I just think that's a beautiful picture of God's longing, longing to be with us, to spend time with us. Go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret is of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I like to think that these pronouns, I like to think that in verse 12, that God is saying, him shall God teach in the way that God shall choose. That's the way I like to see those pronouns, but I don't, you can look at it either way. But I like to think that when I, in secret, The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. If I fear the Lord, not scared, but if I reverence and awe and spend time in worship, I think God is going to take care of me. He's going to pick the path he wants me to walk, and he's going to show it to me if I spend time with him. Just spend time with him. A place of secrets. Personal guidance from God. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 is a very familiar chapter. In Proverbs 3, we usually look at verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. But I'd like you to go down to verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. That secret place of revelation, of blessing. Go to Amos 3. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Amos 3, 6 and 7. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Now, just of late, and I'm not sure why, but there's been about three incidences where my wife and I were visiting with people and they talked about the fear of the mark of the beast. You know, what's going to happen? How will I know what's going to be the mark? And one lady told us, she said, I'm anxious for him to put a chip in there so I don't have to carry a credit card. That'll be handy. Oh, that made me tremble. But I don't think the Lord's going to do anything but what he doesn't warn us as saints. I don't think we have to fear. It's a little bit, I don't know how to make a good comparison, but I was never afraid of my dad, though I had a deep respect for him. I knew he always cared for me. I knew he would never try to surprise me in trouble. He would never do that. He was always concerned for me. I think that's the way God is. These things he said, there's going to be trouble and anguish at the end of the world. But I don't think we need to fear, because I think he's going to show us. He's going to walk with us through that, just like he walks with us today. Didn't he walk with you today? Absolutely he did. And he'll walk with us then. A place of revelation. The secret place. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. On this last one in fasting, I heard one fellow say, Jesus wasn't saying to hide your fasting. He was saying don't flaunt it. Generally, if you fast, there's a paleness that you have to deal with. There's a lack of energy that you have to deal with. So don't try to hide it necessarily when you're fasting, but don't flaunt it that I'm fasting today. I'm fasting. The blessing of hidden alms. The thrill of answer to secret prayer. The victory of hidden the answer to hidden sacrifice. When we fast, usually there's a purpose. We're fasting with a purpose. And then when God answers, there's that victory we experience. That he did it for me. It was me that he cared about. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. God has a secret place for you and I where he wants to meet with us. And the devil has an alternative to it. He offers us the same, it's not the same, that's the wrong word to use, but he offers us a thrill, and I don't really like to use that word, but he offers us that what's my word, brethren? What is it that he offers us? Those of you that understand what I'm talking about. He offers us a satisfaction, meaning that the devil tries to replace. Verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. I'd just like to look at a couple more verses here quickly, if we can. Go with me to Psalm 44. We can't hide from God. Psalm 44, verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of God, or stretched out our hand to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Psalm 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. We may think they're secret, but they're not secret to God. Jeremiah 23. 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Have I heard what the prophet said? Oh, I have heard what the prophet said. In this case, they were speaking lies. But there is something here. If you're in sin, you can't hide that from God. He already knows. But if you spend time in secret with him, he knows that too. And he longs to just bless you in that secret place. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2 and verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Verse 16. In the day they shall be judged by the law. And then there's a semicolon there. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. God is going to judge us one day. He knows all the secrets. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, lest they have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Cleanse me from those secret things. Take them away. Ephesians 5. In verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. God wants to come into your heart. God wants to come into your life at that secret time and show you all the things that he'd like to change and make you a better person. Make you more he wants you to be. Ecclesiastes 12. One last scripture. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Where do you find yourself tonight? Where do you want to be? And I said, I can't take you to the secret place. I can tell you about it. But are you living in secret sin? Or are you resting in that secret place with God? Have you found that secret place with God? That place isn't really a place. It's any place when you take time with God. You know, for about 20 years I worked alone. I often said, I don't know if it's because nobody could get along with me or because I couldn't get along with anybody else. But I spent a lot of time alone in those 20 years, and there's always things what you're doing that are just mundane things that don't take any thinking. And it's those times when you're just doing something mundane and you're just thinking about God and what you're, you know, what He wants you to do and how He wants you to live. You just think about that and you're just spending time there. And I remember there's different times when, you know, just talk with God. You're just talking to Him and all of a sudden you just feel His presence come down. You just feel Him there. And I know, I don't know how it is in your secret place, but sometimes I just bow my head and weep. He just comes down and He's just a friend. He's just there with you. That's so precious. Now, I don't give a lot for feelings and experiences. I really don't. But God is real. And He wants to spend time with you. He wants to spend time with me. He wants to be our friend, our dearest friend. And friendship takes time. And God desires to be the fullness of my time. He wants it all. Are you too busy? God isn't. God isn't too busy. He longs for us to join Him in that secret place. When storms of life around me beating and rough the path that I have trod, within my closet door retreating, I love to be alone with God. I hope that's your prayer as well. May the Lord bless you.